verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Verse 19. But be not thou far from me, O Lord, O my strength, haste thee to help me. And verse 31. They shall come and declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I don't know about you, but there are times when I've read this 23rd Psalm and it's just words. And I go on to Psalm 24. There have been other times in my life when this psalm has meant everything. And not just the psalm, but the shepherd. He's meant everything. And you know, coupled with Psalm 22 just before it, Psalm 23, we see need that is supplied. Need provided for. Psalm 22, the song of the suffering Savior. Need not met. Over and over again, the Lord says, none to help. I don't know about you, but I could be reminded every day of this tremendous truth that there's one who is my shepherd. And he's the Lord. The Lord of Psalm 22. None to help him in his tremendous need so that he can help you and me, even on a day like this. Even this afternoon. You know, our needs are so varied. And I don't know what yours are. You don't know what mine are. But thank God, if there was a time in our life when we realized we were the sheep that went astray, and we realize that what Christ did on the cross, dying for our sins, he met the need so our sins could be forgiven. But brother, sister, not only did he meet our greatest need, take away our sin, but as believers, he's a living Savior. He's our shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, I don't know much about sheep. I didn't grow up on a farm. I've often thought it'd be very interesting to raise sheep. You'd probably learn a lot. There's so much about sheep in the scriptures. But I think I know this about sheep. That if they have a good shepherd, they have everything they need. Brother, sister, we have a good shepherd. He's a living shepherd. The Lord of all. And to be able to say, he is my shepherd. Tremendous. Would you trade that for $1 million? Would you trade it for anything this world has to offer? To have a shepherd. A good shepherd. And to be able to say, like David the psalmist, can I put it like this? Because the Lord's my shepherd, I have everything I need. I shall not want. Unfortunately, we forget so easily, don't we? We can enjoy the Lord one day or even 1 hour, enjoy all that He is and all that He's able to provide. We're just resting in Him, enjoying Him, and then just around the corner, some new difficulty comes or whatever, and we try to handle it on our own, and panic sets in. Somebody might say, well, you know, this shepherd of yours, what does he do for you? What's he done for you lately? Well, David tells us a few things that the shepherd wants to do for us and can if we let him. First of all, he satisfies. He satisfies. You know, many of us before we are saved try to find satisfaction in the world, trying one thing after another, and it left us totally empty. And even as believers, we try so often to satisfy the longing of our hearts, and it leaves us empty. Look at verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I remember when I first came into fellowship, an older brother used to talk from time to time about the importance of feeding in the green pastures of the Word of God. I've never forgotten that. You know, one thing sheep need is food. And one thing God's people need is food, spiritual food. We've been hearing about that. Brother, sister, can I ask you, have you been feeding in the green pastures? We're not talking about straw or sand, or rock, green, lush, tender grass. And notice, the sheep are lying down. This is what God wants. He wants us to feed and be satisfied. And it isn't so much a case of, well, I can't do that in the world. I can't go after this. I can't go after that. When you're full, you know, even the choicest steak may not have any appeal to you. Or whatever food you like, because you're satisfied. But then he says, he leads me beside the still waters. Now these are the two main things I would think. I'm a non-sheepist, sheep farmer, but they need food and water. And if they have that, apart from protection, and we get to that a little further down in the psalm, but if they have food and water, don't they have everything they need? You know, when we think that the Lord Jesus, He lay down, not in green pastures, but on a cross. Now, I don't know exactly how it all happened, the crucifixion, but to me there's some possibility. He was put on a cross. He lay down on a cross. And waters, Psalm 22, he says, I am poured out like water. He did all this so that you and I can be satisfied today and tomorrow and the rest of our life, not only in this world, but forever. Listen, he wants, because he's our shepherd, He provides for us. He wants us to be satisfied. Now, we're not saying there won't be difficulties, but He wants to be satisfied in our soul. Spiritual food, spiritual refreshment. You know what it's like sometimes when you're working? Maybe it's hot and you haven't had anything to drink for a while. And even if it's just some cold water or whatever, it just is so refreshing. Have there been times when you've been a little dry in your soul? And you just gotten something from the Word of God, and it's just so refreshing. But there's something else. Not only does He satisfy, but He restores. Verse 3, He restores my soul. Is there any one of us here this afternoon that doesn't need to be restored in some measure or another? You know, the sheep going astray Yes, that was us before we were saved, but even as believers, we go astray so easily. It's our nature. Thank God that we have a shepherd who is willing and able to restore us. You know, this psalm talks so much about him and all that he wants to be to us. And isn't it a pity that we don't live in the good of it more? And I'll speak for myself that I don't live in the good of this more. I've enjoyed what our brother's been telling us from John 15. Abiding, resting in him. Isn't that what the Christian life is all about? It's all about him. And letting him be everything to us that we're in need of. Do you have a shepherd this afternoon? Things making you afraid and you're wondering how this is going to go and that's going to go? Listen, we have a shepherd. He wants us to rest and be satisfied, refreshed. Do we need to be restored? He's able to restore us. Maybe there's somebody here and you've been away from the Lord. Maybe something in the past, you got discouraged and you said, enough, I've had it. Maybe you've left the assembly and you found out that the world is still empty. Listen, he's a God of restoration. And I thank the Lord for verses like in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, that if we confess our sins, just tell him about it. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's a parental forgiveness. Not talking about a judicial forgiveness. Not talking about the penalty of our sins being forgiven. But so our communion can be restored. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen, he is willing and able to restore us. And I will say this, if he wasn't a shepherd who restores, you and I likely wouldn't be here today, would we? But then we read that not only does he satisfy, not only does he restore, but he guides. The end of verse 3, he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Anyone here today need guidance? We've been hearing about the young people and, you know, trying to get your sails set in life. A lot of decisions. Wondering maybe who you're going to marry. What kind of career? What kind of job? Where are you going to live? Listen, the shepherd wants to lead his sheep, and he will if we let him. You know, the lack isn't on his part. It's often we end it because we don't trust him. We don't let him be all that he wants to be to us. We're trusting in ourselves. And so many things in life, I wonder if God doesn't allow them because he's weaning us away from self-sufficiency, from depending on things in the world, because he wants to be our shepherd. You know, God's able to restore us, just to go back a bit, even at a conference. Just something from himself. Maybe talking to somebody personally or something that's preached. The Lord's able to just bring us by the heartstrings to himself. Because Christianity is a relationship. A relationship with a person. A person who loves us. A person who suffered and died for us. A person who is alive. Well, somebody say, well, you know, that sounds good. That sounds good, but you don't know the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. That's not only a song, but that's the cry of many. Some might think, you know, this Christianity, it's not all it's cracked up to be. In verse 4, the he now of verse 2 and 3 is the you or the thou of verses 4 and 5. Perhaps a little more personal. He says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Now, I wouldn't take away from those that would apply this to people that are approaching death, physical death. And how tremendous it must be, and we've heard many testimonies of those that are approaching death, how the presence of the Lord was so real to them. But you know, death casts its shadow across all our path. And this life can be a very dark valley. Now, I don't know what shepherds in David's time, what it was like, but what I picture is maybe some kind of narrow ravine, and you know, the sunshine doesn't get down there, and there's rock outcroppings, and maybe poisonous snakes, mountain lions, I don't know. But it's dangerous. But this world is like that. This life is like that. Difficulties. Brother, sister, we need a shepherd to protect us. We have a shepherd to protect us. He says, though I walk, notice it's through the valley. We're not going to be here forever. He's going to bring us out the other side. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because you're with me. The presence of the Lord, a sense of His presence. If there's one thing I covet, I agree with my brother, just to have a sense of His presence, I'll tell you, it can make all the difference. Now, just by the wayside here, it's interesting to see in the Scriptures the different times that the Lord tells His people, I'm with you. The different circumstances. I think of one time when Jacob, he's leaving his mother and father, he's going to find a wife. The Lord says, I'm with you. Good to have a sense of the Lord's presence when you're looking for a life's partner. And I hope there's no one here that would say, well, you know, I don't mind going to meeting on Sunday and maybe even through the week once in a while, but when it comes to finding a life's partner, I think I can handle it. Don't do it. The Lord knows better than you or me who we should marry. So He tells Jacob, I'm with you. I think of Jeremiah there when God's commissioning him. Can I use that expression? And Lord's saying, I want you to speak for me, to be my prophet. And Jeremiah says, not me. I'm just a child. And the Lord's, this is what's going to make all the difference, Jeremiah. I'm with you. You know, there are times when the Lord wants us to speak for Him. Maybe it's to somebody at school or somebody that we work with, neighbor, and sometimes for the brethren on a Sunday night to give a word in the gospel. And we feel like Jeremiah, don't we? I'm just a child. I can't do this. I'm with you. Just a sense of the shepherd's presence with us makes all the difference. But just one more. I think in the book of Haggai now, some of the Jews have come back from Babylon after 70 years and they're in Jerusalem and they start to build the temple and there's opposition, there's just discouragement. So for a number of years, nothing happens. And the Lord stirs up Haggai and Zechariah. And Haggai says, build. Build the house of God. And then the Lord says, I'm with you. You know, lots to discourage building the house of God today, the local assembly. But we all need to put our shoulders to the wheel and not leave it to just a few. Every believer in assembly fellowship is vitally important. But we get discouraged and, you know, sometimes the testimony is not what it could be. And we get discouraged and we don't build in, even by our presence at meetings, perhaps. We don't build in by trying to be a help to our brothers and sisters in whatever way. And our hands hang down. The Lord says, build, and I'm with you. You know, we start out here with a sheep in green pastures. But in verse 5, we see the sheep at a table. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have enemies at work, at school, people that give you the cold shoulder, and maybe a lot worse. I remember when I first came into Assembly Fellowship, there was another young man. Neither one of us were married, and we used to spend a little time together, both saved from the outside, so to speak. And he worked in a car plant. Worked on the Chrysler assembly line. And the guys at the plant gave him a rough time. I mean, some of the things they did to him, you could hardly believe it. But I remember him telling me that this verse meant a lot to him. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You know, a table in the Bible speaks of fellowship. Because when you eat with others, you do more than just feed your body. Usually there's a little communication, there's fellowship. Well, the way this brother looked at it was the guys all around him throwing things at him, saying things. But there in the assembly line, he was able to enjoy fellowship with the Lord, even in the presence of his enemies. The Lord satisfies, he restores, he guides, he protects. But isn't it amazing? He wants you and me to have fellowship with him. The Lord of all, the one who not only created this whole universe, the one who's sustaining it, wants to have fellowship on a daily basis, moment by moment, with you, with me. Because he's our shepherd. He gave his life for lost sheep like us. And I think of David's kindness to Mephibosheth. Interestingly enough, in Lodibar, no pasture. And what does David do? He brings him right to the palace. And what is it? Four times in so many words, he says, "You shall eat bread at my table continually as one of the king's sons." Listen, the Lord wants you and me to be at his table, to have fellowship with him as we read his word, as we enjoy him. Even driving down the road or wherever we are, he's a living person. He's brought us into a living relationship with himself. We can abide in him. We can enjoy him. Now, I'm not going to take much more time here, but you see the tremendous blessing this shepherd has brought us into. He says in verse 5 at the end, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over." I think of him, the Lord Jesus. His head was crowned with thorns. His cup was one of judgment. And yet you and I, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And yet so often, I live as a spiritual pauper. It's not his fault. But then finally, in this last verse here, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." Now, maybe somebody will say, "Well, hold it. I can't say that. Goodness, loving kindness, I've got this issue, this problem, and all this stuff going on." Possibly. We all have our issues. We all have our problems. But here we are today. And if you know Christ as your Savior, you're on your way to heaven. Your sins have been forgiven. And to be here, without his shepherd care, we could be out in the world anywhere, possibly saved, but we could be out there. And yet he's preserved us. And to be in assembly fellowship, tremendous privilege. Some of us know what it's like to be in other groups. And while there's some wonderful Christians there, I'll tell you, I thank God that he ever brought me into assembly fellowship. For the truth that I've been taught, even the truth of eternal security. I didn't know anything about that for 4 years. And when I first heard it, I went up to the brethren and I said, "What's this?" And I struggled with it because they would talk to me about eternal security and I'd say, "But, you know, it says this, Hebrews 6 and so on." I struggled with this big time. But when the Lord revealed the truth to me, I'll tell you, what peace. You know, we can take these things for granted. The privilege of being in assembly fellowship. Oh, yes, The assemblies are far from perfect. But by the grace of God, here we are. So in this life, goodness, how great is His goodness? His loving kindness, that word follow has the thought of pursue there in verse 6. Goodness and loving kindness shall pursue me all the days of my life. Listen, the devil will try to get us to have negative thoughts of God. He did that with Eve. He says, Eve, you know, you go for that and, you know, jump over the fence and it'll be tremendous. In other words, God's holding out from Eve. He's holding out on you. Goodness and loving kindness pursuing me, pursuing you in this life and in the next. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Looking forward to being there. House of the Lord. You know, if you have a house here in this life, sometimes there's water problems and septic problems and, you know, the roof needs to be reshingled or whatever. Often there's issues. But this is His house, the Lord's house. So, we have a sheep in a green pastures, ends up with a sheep at the king's table in the Lord's house. My friend, this is all because of our shepherd. What He's done for us in the past. What He's doing for us today, if we let Him. For one day, we'll be home. May the Lord help us to realize that because He's our shepherd, we don't need to lack.